Chapter 4. What to Buy. The story? No pain, no gain. I was scared to death. But it felt nice. And then it felt bad again. And then nice. And bad. Ooh, real bad. All these fears. They can be so rough. Fear of something going wrong. Fear of ending up in financial trouble. Fear of what people would think of me if I failed. Fear of failure. Man, I really don't want to be a failure. But what about all those business books? They always talk about failure as something good, something we have to learn to deal with. Failure is a big part of success. I have to learn to deal with potential failure. If there is no risk of failure, I'm probably not taking a big enough risk. But this isn't the first time. I need to figure out what to do with all these fears. What is it I'm afraid of? What is the real problem here? Well, I suppose I might have some trouble making the payments initially. So what would I do about that? Well, I suppose I could work a little on the side to make up the difference during the month it gets tight. But what if the property isn't worth as much as I'm buying it for? What do I do then? Will I be okay? I should be okay as long as I make more rental income than the cost of owning. Yes, that will take care of that. I suppose all these fears are nothing but a few problems I can actually figure out solutions to. That makes it easier. That's what I'll do. I'll make sure to dig into my fears and figure out what the specific problems are. That should help me through this. And it did. Figuring out what was actually scaring me and making some plans for what I could do if the worst-case scenarios ended up being my reality took a lot of the fear away. Finding out specific problems to which you can create solutions instead of just being scared of something big and intangible. As I sat there thinking, it started making sense to me. I bet the fear is so painful because it's so unspecific. And how are we supposed to deal with something so unspecific? No wonder fear hurts. Dealing with it is always very hard, but when I get it right, fear turns into a specific problem for which I can start searching solutions. The feeling that is left after creating a game plan for the worst-case scenario is not fear, it's something else, something I have decided to call excitement. And it was nice feeling as excited as I did after taking some time to tackle my fears involved with this deal. I knew that I was pushing my limits, but I had faith. I believed in what I was doing. Sitting there, I also remembered what my brother once told me. He said, "Lars, I think you have something going for you. I think you are just dumb enough to throw yourself out there and then just smart enough to figure it out." I had definitely thrown myself out there. Now I just had to figure it out. So what had I done? Well, I had just bought one of the biggest houses in our part of town. It had over 8,000 square feet of rentable living space. When I say living space, that wasn't really the case yet. All that living space only existed in my mind. I had paid for it through bank financing and a loan from my father. A loan I am forever grateful for. The house I had just bought was a school many years earlier, but had since drifted between random people who had used it as their home, storage, dog kennel, treatment facility, office space, and a bunch of other stuff. It was in rough shape, and it needed a lot of work. The previous owner had tried to sell it for a long time without getting much attention. The property was a mess. The house looked bad, and there had been nothing but troublesome people in it during the last 2 decades. All people living within 50 miles knew of the house, and no one appreciated it. No one except me. I was very discouraged at first, given what everybody had to say about it. But when I went to meet with the seller and take a look at the property despite all the neighbors' opinions, I was pleasantly surprised. As I got there, I had to drive up behind the big hedges that surround the building, and I instantly found myself a bit surprised by how clean and orderly things were behind those overgrown bushes. There were a few cracked windows, rotten panel boards, and missing roof tiles. But besides that, the house looked pretty good. It had a fresh layer of paint, a solid foundation without any cracks or settlement issues, and several new windows. The owner took me on a tour and we went through a nice dry basement that smelled good, a bunch of old classrooms that seemed perfectly fine, a little apartment where one of the teachers had lived before, and into the attic where I found only one tiny water leak. We continued down to the other end of the house where he had built himself an apartment that was surprisingly nice. Sitting there, we talked for a while and for some reason things just clicked in my head. Before I knew it, I told him to draw up the paperwork because I was going to buy this place. According to everybody else, I should have run for my life. But being the only one who had seen the place up close, I realized I knew something others didn't. It had good bones. Just like the first house I bought, this was something I could work with. I bought the property for a fraction of its market value, and then I started things off by hiring a big, strong man to tackle the hedges. He spent days with chainsaws, axes, and rakes to trim them down, and once done, they looked as if they belonged outside a French mansion. I mowed lawns, washed the dirty driveway, and hauled away a ton of debris. I decided to start with a garden overhaul to let the neighbors know there was something going on. That the house was no longer a messy place full of messy people. That it was my place. After getting the garden looking pristine, I started work on and in the building. I ended up creating tons of value by adding more living space. This took months of tough and exhausting labor, most of which I did myself. Drywall, spackle, paint, drywall, spackle, paint. I thought it would never end, but it did, and when done, I had built three apartments in former classrooms and managed to rent them, together with the two that were already there. Bringing that place from a dump to a functional rental property took a lot of effort. I'd worked 10-hour days most days of the week, and on top of that, I had several sleepless nights from not having the funds needed to finish my projects as fast as I wanted. Not having enough money in the account to take care of unforeseen events is very hard on my nervous system. It always has been. But I have still managed to end up in situations just like that quite often. It's hard to avoid, as escaping from a low bank balance would mean bypassing several good deals. The work went on for months, but the effort paid off. It only took a few weeks to get the two apartments that were already there fixed up and rented. I then went on to build and restore one new one, and then another, and after about 1 year from buying it, I had 5 units rented with a 6 planned. But that had to wait. I needed a break. So I took one. For 2 years during which I lived pretty comfortably on the cash flow the building was creating. After 2 years, I started feeling like working again, and as I was warming up to the idea of creating a 6th apartment, I got a really good offer on the property. So I sold it for more than twice what I had invested into it. When I left, the property had gone from being a rough, old-school building behind huge hedges to a nice little rental property with 5 apartments and room for one more. All of that was possible because I had such a good and steady old structure to build it on. A structure that was strong enough to support all apartments, all the people living there, and all the bad weather our Swedish climate had thrown at it. Others didn't see it, but I did. I saw the potential and went for it. The story in numbers. I owned the house for 3 years and the price of rent varied during this time. Monthly income. Rental income. It varied from $1,350 for the 2 initial apartments that were rented the first year to $3,300 during the last 2 years when all 5 apartments were rented. Average rent equaled $2,800. Vacancy loss equaled 0.5%. Total income equaled $2,660 per month. Monthly expenses, cost of owning the house. Taxes equaled $80. Repairs and maintenance equaled $100, very minor since I renovated the whole house. Management fee equaled $0, I managed the property myself. Loan payments, 30 years at 4%, equaled $825. Utilities and heating equaled $600. Total expenses equaled $1,605 per month. The house created a monthly profit of $2,660 minus $1,605, equaling $1,055, which equals a yearly profit of $12,660. Total rent during my ownership was $12,660 times 3 equaling $37,980. I then sold the house for $300,000. Total income equaled $337,980. I bought the house for $110,000 and I spent a total of $25,000 on the renovations. The closing cost when buying the property was paid for by the seller. I sold the property myself, so did not have to pay any fees. Total cost equaled $135,000. Total income, $337,980, minus the total cost of $135,000, equaled $202,980 in profit. The facts. When you are trying to find good deals, learning a little about what makes a house, how they are built, and how they work can help you improve the potential profits immensely. Having a vague understanding of electrical systems, plumbing, roofs, and foundations makes it a lot easier to figure out what you might be dealing with when renovating and/or owning that specific property. I would compare not knowing what makes a good house to buying stocks in a company you know nothing about. A lot of people do that, but their result tends to be somewhat disappointing. When Warren Buffett buys stocks in a new company, he evaluates it first. He investigates all details, numbers, and possibility for that company before deciding on whether it's worth investing in or not. He does so well because he knows what to look for. He knows good quality and good potential. Investing in a house is no different. For you to form a proper opinion, you benefit from knowing how different houses behave, just like you would want to know what a neighborhood is like before you invest in it. You will also want to know what potential problems could be headed your way so that you can prepare for them and avoid nasty surprises. There is a goldmine in finding investments that look to be in much worse shape than they actually are. Finding a house that looks rough enough to scare most potential buyers away can be extremely profitable if you manage to see past the dirt. A lot of times, simple improvements go a long way. Now, imagine standing on the street looking in on the house you are thinking about buying. The first thing you will see is the yard. The yard is important. It's a big part of how the property looks and how the property feels. A bad yard can make a good house look rough. A good yard can make a bad house look better. Yards are simple and cheap to work on, so finding good houses with bad yards can make for great deals. Most labor needed for the different tasks involved in yard work requires very little special knowledge and can be performed by most people. As a result, you can likely figure out what needs to be done on your own. If not, it's usually pretty cheap to hire someone, given that most people can do it without special education or special permits. There is almost no part of the property where such small investments can make such a big overall impact as to how the property feels. The bad part of a bad yard is that if the owners haven't taken care of it, chances are they haven't taken care of the house either. I would also like to mention the size of the yard. Most people like the idea of having a big yard, but a bigger yard also means more to maintain. That, together with higher property tax, will increase the cost of owning the house. The ideal yard is small, fenced, and has been neglected for maybe a few years. A few years is enough to make the yard look awful, but not enough to harm a house if that has been neglected too. House exterior. Is it a good-looking house, or can it be a good-looking house? I tend to prefer houses that look nice, so chances are our potential renters will too. A house exterior is very exposed and will take a lot of beating over the years. Weather, termites, and general abuse can shorten its lifetime significantly if you don't maintain it. There are different types of exteriors that can sustain more or less wear and tear as well. I have listed the most common types below. Block. A blockhouse is built with bricks, blocks, stones, or concrete, all very solid materials. That means the house will be solid, perfect for something you want to own for a long time. Blockhouses are the best types of properties to hold and rent and are worth paying a little more for. When you inspect a blockhouse, start by looking for cracks. Wider cracks indicate settlement or structural issues, which can be a hassle. If you are interested in a house that looks like it has structural issues, ask an expert to have a look before you buy. If the house is made of bricks, make sure the joints between the bricks look even and solid. If not, chances are bad joint compound was used and you will have to do expensive repairs. You don't want to find big chunks of joint compound falling out. This problem is more common in colder climates and might be a sign of water going into the joints and freezing. This makes the water expand, which destroys the joint compound. Wood. Few materials are as easy to work with as wood, hence so many wooden houses. A wooden house can stand strong for hundreds of years if you maintain it. As a general rule, the parts exposed to weather must be kept painted or treated, and there can be no leaks anywhere because wet wood rots. You will also have to be on the lookout for termites. Termites eat their way into the wood. If a wooden house has been poorly maintained, chances are a lot of the wood is bad. Luckily, it's relatively easy to work with. It might not be over just because the house you are looking at seems to be in bad shape. With wood, you can simply tear out the bad parts and replace them with new pieces. Surface stuff is usually easy to replace, while structural things such as beams in the floors or walls take a bit more effort. As the owner of a wooden house, make sure to keep it painted. Avoid having any plants growing right next to the house and remember to keep an eye out for water leaks and termites. Good wood stays pretty firm. You can check the condition of wood by gently sticking a knife into it. It should be pretty firm and you should have a hard time pushing the knife in. If the wood gives and feels soft, spongy, or crumbles, it will need some attention. Other. Block and wood make up the majority of buildings, even though you will find other types out there. Most other exteriors are there to protect and to visually enhance materials which have been put on a block or wood frame. One exterior like that is asbestos. Asbestos usually comes in shingles, and it's made from minerals. Asbestos shingles will last forever, but the material is fragile and can be dangerous to handle. Houses with asbestos exteriors can be hard to finance and insure, but are usually cheaper to buy. They make fine rentals as the material is unaffected by weather and avoided by termites. There are other examples such as glass, plastic, and metal exteriors. These are all very uncommon unless you are buying skyscrapers of very trendy design villas. They are all solid and simple exteriors that will last you for a long time. The roof. A roof can make or break a house, but still tends to be neglected by a lot of property owners. And no wonder. Few things are as expensive to repair or replace. As with the exterior of a house, roofs come in a few different materials. Metal. Metal roofs are among the more durable and will last longer than many other types of roofing, usually 40 to 75 years depending on where you are located. As with block exteriors, it is something worth paying a premium for when buying a house that you are planning to hold. If the house you are looking at needs a new roof, metal is a great option, but it is relatively expensive. Check to make sure there are no leaks, that the metal is nailed down properly, and try to find out how old it is. Asphalt. Asphalt is very common and most often comes in rolls or shingles. The lifetime for these roofs vary a lot, but as an average, they will be good for 15 to 20 years. For houses with asphalt roofs, find out when the roof was last replaced. Look for leaks and be prepared to replace it. A good asphalt roof usually has a lot of gravel or little stones on its surface. The smoother they get, the more worn they are. If you want a comparison, go and feel some new shingles at a construction store. Old asphalt also tends to get dry and start cracking. Make sure that it's still a bit flexible and doesn't have a bunch of dry cracks in it. Clay and concrete tiles. Clay and concrete tiles will last for around 50 years. You can try to figure out how old they are by looking at their thickness and comparing that to a new tile. Weather wears them down over time. In my opinion, these are usually the prettiest roofs. It is, however, an expensive roof, and I have had problems with wind picking up and moving the tiles around. Houses with tile roofs also need a good subroof. The most common example is to have asphalt rolled out underneath to protect from water pushing in between the tiles. The subroof can be hard to replace and repair as there are tiles all over it. Other. Other roofs include durable but expensive slates, wood tiles, and more. If the house you are looking at has a different roof than mentioned above, seek expert advice to help you evaluate it. Drain pipes and hinges are a vital part of keeping a house in good shape. go over them and make sure they are all clean and that water flushes through without issue. If it doesn't, and you buy the property, fix the issue right away. My experience is that clogged drain pipes are one of the biggest reasons for water damages and leaks. If they are clogged, rainwater will fill them up before overflowing onto the house, creating moisture that can end up leaving you with mold and other annoying issues. The foundation. Houses are usually built on a slab of concrete with or without a basement, on a wooden frame that is put on blocks or on a cement frame. The latter creates an area under the house called a crawl space. If you are looking at a house with a basement, make sure the walls are dry. If not, you will have to do some work to get water away from the house. This can be as easy as a drain pipe that needs to be led away from the house, or as major as having to dig up the whole yard and waterproof the basement walls on the outside. For houses built on a wooden frame, placed on blocks or a concrete wall, make sure the frame is solid and the floors inside aren't spongy. Spongy floors indicate underdimensioned or rotten beams or boards. You also want to ensure the surface under the house, the crawl space, is dry and well ventilated. For a foundation made of a concrete slab, verify that there are no cracks. Big cracks indicate settlement issues, which tend to be expensive to repair. Cement slabs are simple and durable foundations. If you are looking at houses in colder climates, some modern slab foundations have heating installed in them. If they do, make sure it works and consider bringing in an expert to verify that it's in good shape. Since it isn't accessible without busting out the floors, a broken heating system can cost you a lot of money to repair. Smell for anything fishy. A good house smells good. A bad house smells bad. Mold, cat pee, moisture, rotting wood, it all smells bad. If you step inside and it smells bad, try to find out why and see if you can do anything about it. Doors and windows. Doors and windows are expensive to replace, so check around and make sure they are in decent condition. If they aren't, you will need to make room for replacing them in your budget. If they are wooden doors or windows, stick a knife into the bottom of them. If the wood is rotten, it gives very easily. You want the wood to be firm. If the windows are aluminum or plastic, they will last a very long time because the frames don't rot. Plastic can get dry and fragile if it's exposed to a lot of sun over long periods of time. Older windows that don't insulate well are not the end of the world, but they usually make for higher heating and cooling bills. A lot of renters know this and might choose to rent from someone else if their utility bills run too high. If you are paying for the utilities, a better insulated house will help keep the bills down. Floors. Floors need to feel solid. If not, you are looking at lots of work replacing beams and boards underneath in what's called the subfloor. Besides structural issues, everything is simple. You can install new floor surfaces for relatively cheap, and there are many good options to choose from. The most durable and appreciated type is tiled floors, especially in rental properties. Tiles are almost indestructible and very easy to clean. Wooden floors need occasional maintenance, like being oiled or polished. A benefit of wooden floors is that they are very comfortable to walk on and they look nice. You can also sand them down and resurface them if needed. Vinyl and laminate are durable. They come in many forms and are very easy to install. Carpets tend to get worn and dirty, but are very fast and easy to replace. We use carpet in a lot of our rentals as it's efficient when cleaning up after bad tenants. We can repaint without having to cover the floors, then rip the carpet out and install a new one. Walls. Walls work the same way floors do. Soft and spongy is dangerous and indicates issues from water leaks or termites. The surface of most inner walls is made up of drywall, wooden boards, or beadboard, which are all easy to replace. Besides that, all you need is spackle, caulk, and paint. Speaking of paint, there is one thing to look out for. A lot of people used lead paint back in the day. Lead paint typically cracks and chips in a distinct scaly or geometric pattern. Sadly, oil and latex paints can crack, flake, and chip as well. Another indicator is that lead paint rubs off with a chalky residue. Lead paint can be a hazard if kids or pets eat it, so you want to avoid exposed and flaky lead paint. Bathrooms. Bathrooms are best if they are waterproof. Water that goes anywhere else than where it's supposed to can create some annoying issues over time. Make sure the walls and floor don't let water through. If they do, there is a big risk of structural damage and mold underneath. It can be hard to see, but a good start is to look out for sponginess and bad smells. Most things can be fixed, but overhauling bathrooms is expensive. If you need to do major work in the bathroom, ask for quotes and take the price of the restoration into consideration when you calculate how big an investment the house will require. Kitchen. Kitchens can require a bit of money to get them in good shape. Check to see if there are any appliances or if you will have to buy new ones. If there are some, how old are they? The expected lifetime of most appliances is around 8 to 10 years. Then try to figure out if the cabinets need work. Will they have to be replaced? Is it enough to just change the fronts or even just the knobs? Cleaning and scrubbing usually goes a long way. Electrical and wiring. This is one of the more important things, as you aren't supposed to do any major installations yourself. To avoid any big expenses, check the electrical panel and make sure it looks good and up to date. Some of them even have their date of manufacturing on them. Anything after 1980 is usually pretty good. Older work might need an expert's evaluation. Exposed cables going in different directions indicate sloppy installation, which might get you in trouble if you want to insure or mortgage the house. The wires, conduits, and boxes should be securely fixed to the building. Also, make sure the house is wired with copper and not aluminum. If the house is wired with aluminum, you will have to get it all rewired before any company will insure you. Plumbing. Check all pipes and connections for leaks. Go under all sinks, look around toilets, showers, and wherever plumbing is exposed. Make sure it all works and try to figure out if anything might need to be replaced. Copper and plastic are the most common and preferred materials. There are a lot of older water and sewage pipes made of iron. They tend to rust, so be prepared to replace them. You should also try to find the hot water heater and make sure it doesn't leak. Older water heaters usually start to rust and look worn. If it looks rough, take the cost of replacing it into your budget. Water and sewage. Water and sewage can be either from the county or a well and septic tank. For a house that you will rent out, water and sewage from the county is easier, as the bill can go directly to the tenants. If there is a well and a septic tank, you will have to help take care of them. The tank should be inspected to make sure it has a working leach field. Septic tanks will also have to be pumped once a year. That will set you back a few hundred bucks each time. The well requires a water pump and a pressure tank. Confirm that they work and don't leak. Older water pumps and pressure tanks tend to rust and look worn. If they do, put money aside to pay for new ones in case they break. Tenants should not have to go without running water. It might also be a good idea to check the quality of the water and make sure it isn't poisonous or unusually hard, as that wears down the pipes very quickly. Heating and cooling. When you look at houses, you will find the climate control is usually made up of a central system or several smaller units. A central system provides a better climate in the house and attracts better tenants. There will be one unit that sends hot or cold air or water throughout the house using air vents or water pipes and radiators. Make sure that these, along with the unit, all work. You should also try to figure out the age of the central unit and ask a specialist what the expected lifetime might be. If the central unit distributes through air vents, there will be a filter that needs to be replaced occasionally. If it is a water system with radiators, check for leaks. Older systems have iron pipes, newer ones, copper. You would also benefit from trying to find out the age of the unit and call a professional to ask what its expected lifetime is in order to get a good idea of how long you might have until it needs to be replaced. If your house is being heated or cooled by one or several smaller units, check that they all work and try to figure out if any of them will have to be replaced sometime soon. Also, make sure they provide enough power to heat or cool the whole house. Heating and cooling is one of those things that most people don't even try to install or work themselves. Luckily, there are a lot of professionals out there who can help you if something needs to be done. If the house you are looking at has a system that doesn't work, call a specialist and ask what it might cost to repair or replace it. Action items. Take your time to walk around and inspect the properties you are looking at. Try to see as many properties as possible to figure out whether you find some houses better than others. If you come across things you don't understand, take your time to investigate. Don't be afraid to call specialists. Search the internet. Do your best to understand what it is you are buying, and you will avoid a lot of unpleasant surprises.